This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's number one award-winning show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self.
Hide and seek.
Visit joy.org.au/hide and seek.
Good evening and welcome to Hide and Seek for another Wednesday evening. This is your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. My name is Andrew the Apprentice. Joining me this evening is Tim. Good evening, Tim.
Good evening.
A big thank you to the Right Here, Right Now team. And Tim, we, you know, another busy show, of course.
I know, we're getting into the Mardi Gras spirit as well.
We are. Are we?
Well, I'm not going. I hate everyone.
How come you're not going? You're a Sydney cider.
Oh, I know, I know. This
been
is the
been
second...
there, done that?
Not exactly. It's more financial reasons.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
But I am doing chill out, so I'm looking forward to that.
Very good.
Enjoying some time in the country.
Yes.
Some good wholesome fun.
Apparently.
Yes.
Yes, it is Mardi Gras, of course, coming up. Well, Mardi Gras parade happening this Saturday evening.
Yes.
For all the action, of course, listen to Joy 94.9 or stream on air at joy.org.au. SBS, we're partnering with SBS as well, so
that's fantastic.
All happening.
It's all happening here at Joy.
It is. Tonight we're going to have reigning Laird Leatherman, Daddy Steve, joining us to chat about what he's been up to in the several months. We'll have to count the months during the break since he won his title back in August.
I'm counting with my fingers.
There we go. Seven months. There we go.
There we go. Seven.
Seven. So he's been very busy. He's also been gallivanting, and he's got more gallivanting to come. So we'll be finding out a lot about that. But he's got a big fundraiser happening in early April. So we'll be finding out a lot about that this evening with Daddy Steve, our guest.
Hi, this is Dan Savage, and you're listening to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
That's right, this is Hide and Seek, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice and Mr. Tim are with you this evening.
Good evening.
And Tim, we have got Mr. Daddy Steve in the studio joining us too.
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Very well. Reigning Mr. Laird Leatherman.
Yes, it's been quite a ride already.
So it's been, as I mentioned, August, so 7 months.
Yes, August the 7th was the event night. Certainly a night to remember.
See it into your brain.
Yes, yes. Absolutely indelible.
So, and of course we talked to you, you know, a couple of days after your win here on Hide and Seek.
When I barely had a voice.
When you barely had a voice. Cow flu.
Yeah. Yeah.
The bears, of course, get bear flu after hibernation, and the leather boys get cow flu.
Yeah, we just come down sick.
Mad cow disease.
Mad cow disease. Now, in a couple of words, how's the last 7 months been?
Exciting, thrilling, terrifying, but most of all rewarding.
So, as Laird Leatherman, what are your core responsibilities?
So the main role of the Laird Leatherman is to be an ambassador to the wider community on behalf of the leather community. That can be done in a number of ways. Usually it's about trying to educate those that aren't too familiar with the leather community about what is in, what it entails. And most of the time that's to remove any fear from what the leather community is. Because it's sometimes it's a subculture within a subculture. So a lot of people aren't aware of what the leather community is, what they do, and as soon as people aren't quite aware of what it is, often there's a little bit of fear around that. So the role of the leatherman is to try and embrace other people into the leather community.
So what kind of things have you done to bring those people in?
So I've been present at a number of events. One of the big events was the Northside Bazaar, which was a fundraiser for Joy and the VAC, and in that case, it was almost like preaching to the converted. but it was a fantastic day, and I assisted with one of the auctions at one point and a few other duties throughout the day. The other thing that I do is, the Laird being the major sponsor and Manhouse, is you'll find me down the Laird quite often, and I've been hosting one of their leather nights, which replaced the Melbourne Leatherman night, and that's called Vice. And Vice is held on every second Saturday of the month. We've been having rotating themes through each month. So we've had a Show Your Colours, which was trying to encourage people to flag whatever colours might indicate their sexual predilections, or this coming one on the 12th of March is strapped. So we're encouraging people to come in jock straps and harnesses, so strapped leather.
Awesome.
So is it also the case that the leatherman needs to do, you know, go out to other community groups and to engage those as well?
I have. The main charity I've been raising funds for through my title year is GALFA, the Gay and Lesbian Foundation of Australia.
Right.
I addressed their midsummer event and spoke along with Rowena Hall on what I've been doing as the lead leatherman to try and raise money for GALFA. So that was a fun night, and that GALFA had invited a number of different community groups. So there was many of the groups represented, Switchboard, Archives, and other organisations, and Maya Foundation was there, and representatives of those. So.
Great. So tell us a little bit more about GALFA. Why you chose them as your charity?
Okay, GALFA is a philanthropic organisation. They partner with other community organisations to deliver programs. Their main focus, two focuses, have been on ageing GLBTI communities and the homeless GLBTI communities. And rather than setting up programs and running programs themselves, they provide grants to assist other organisations which already have the infrastructure in place to make those programs possible.
And what kind of ageing programs have they been involved in?
A lot of it has been, at this stage, has been sort of research-based.
Yep.
So they've been trying to figure out what is the best way to help the GLBTI community.
So they receive funds. I'm not exactly sure how they receive funds normally.
Through donations.
Through donations,
through
okay.
donations, bequests.
And then that gets transferred out.
And from other philanthropic organisations. So
great.
The main partnership they've had recently is with the Sydney Meyer Foundation.
Fantastic. And then they
people can submit grants for their programs, and then they'll assess those grants and deliver funds to those different programs.
Was it a difficult decision to try and work out which charity to work with?
It was. I'd attended the GALFA function. Actually, my partner and I had hosted their previous year's function that I spoke at during midsummer this year. But my main reason was, the name I ran with through the Leatherman competition was Daddy Steve.
Yep.
As an indicator of, supposed maturity. but also with that, there's the connotations of being aware of older gay and lesbians, and particularly in the leather community, a generation above me was decimated through the 80s and 90s. So there hasn't always been as great a number of role models to look up to, thanks to the AIDS crisis. So we're getting with that being a lot more under control than it was 15 years ago, we're starting to get a generation of men now that are getting up to the age where they do have a lot of experience and a lot of maturity to try and impart that onto them.
And the leather community is also very age diverse.
You go to an
event during AWOL, the Week of Leather, for example, and there's people of every age, 18 years and over, are there.
Yes, and that's one of the good things about the leather community is it is so inclusive with people.
Yeah. And what's been the response from some of the younger members of the community?
The leather community is broadening out. I've been having a lot of discussions with this, is that I'll be going over to represent Melbourne at the International Mr. Leather in May, and I've already connected with a lot of the other contestants who will be competing next year, and one of the big things is that we've been discussing is that the leather community has to evolve.
Yes.
In order to appeal to younger people and to flourish and to attract people to embrace the leather lifestyle.
Yep.
And by that, you're meaning not just fashion leather?
No, the weekend warriors is a term that is often used. But it's not... A hardcore leather lifestyle is not an easy thing to lead, and I think there's probably very few people in any city that have the means or the acceptance through their entire social life and work life to be able to do that. But what by embracing the younger community and their interpretation of what a leather lifestyle is to them, it does mean that there is a new generation coming out through the ranks.
So for the Weekend Warriors, as you said, are they perceived as being part of the leather community?
They should be. If they want to come and be involved in the events and contribute to a leather community, then there should be no judgment passed against them at all.
Is it also the case then that when if they do come along and participate on those weekend events, for example, how then does the culture of the leather community get passed through them, apart from them just going to an event?
Well, I think what happens is that those people might... It's like if you get 1,000 people in the room and you have 10 to 15 that think... This is a really good thing. This is something that I want to follow up. This is something that I can see myself getting more and more interest in. So the wider you cast the net, the more fish you're going to catch. It sounds like I'm recruiting. I'm not trying to recruit.
There's nothing wrong with that.
But it is something that if you can expose people to a culture that's welcoming, friendly, non-judgmental, non-ageist, then you're going to get some people that will embrace that.
So are you saying that maybe the Weekend Warriors, they start off as Weekend Warriors, but maybe like to dip their foot in the
I started off pool as, a bit more? As when I was, well, my very first leather experience was kind of a bit different. It was at the age of two when my mother thought... Mother thought it was a good idea to put a red leather harness on me when we went out shopping to keep me in check. And we can all know where that leads.
All sorts of images.
And I had a leash. She had me on a leash and a red leather harness.
So really it's your mother's fault.
Yeah. But it wasn't until I was probably in my early 20s that I had a friend who's since passed away that sort of said, well, why don't you come along to one of these events and see if you enjoy it? And I borrowed a harness off him and thought, you know, this is really good. I enjoyed the party. I enjoyed the men, the very, very sexy men. And from there, you know, I was a uni student at that time. It's like, well, I can't really afford to go out and get a full kit of leather because, you know, a full kit of leather is kind of expensive. So I went to Leffler's, which was a saddlery supply place, and bought all the accoutrements to make my first harness. And so I was out there with a hammer and anvil and studying on the buckles and things. And then I thought, I've got a harness. I can feel like I can go along and be part of this. And that's where my interest developed. And from there, you got to meet other people and broaden your friendship group and take it from there.
Do you still have the harness?
I do still have the harness. I actually wore the harness during the competition.
Ah, that's right.
Gosh.
So good thing about leather is that it doesn't tend to break down.
As long as you look after it.
Yes.
Yes. So will that harness be going with you to Chicago?
Of course, no doubt. Of course it will. Yes. It's got a very soft spot and So
Chicago International Mr. Leather in May?
Yes, the Memorial Day weekend in Chicago. So that's the end of May.
So what are you expecting from that?
I went last year along to the event as a spectator and really enjoyed it. It's to see the volume of leather guys from all around the world congregate en masse and then to throw into this the contest is it's a really wonderful environment to be in. And you know, through that, got to know different people from around the world. So to go back as a contestant this year will be pretty amazing. And it's done on a grand US scale. So
wow.
Yeah, big stages, fantastic lighting, big audiences,
lasers,
pyrotechnics on the stage. You know, great production. I've spoken to quite a few guys that have competed previously, and they said, actually being in it, they can't sort of prepare you for what it's going to be like. I know it'll be hectic. I know it'll be chaotic, but it will be incredibly exciting.
So even though they can't prepare you, what kind of preparations have you done mentally and maybe organisationally?
Having your kit up to scratch is a very good start. So, and having a full kit of leather. The IML contest is slightly different to how the contest is run in Melbourne. So the one in Melbourne has an interview and then three rounds. So the formal leather, jockstrap, and then the fantasy or talent element. With the IML contest, you have an interview, which is over quite a large panel of the judges, and I think there's 9 or 11 judges. And that's a 10-minute interview, which can be quite intense, apparently.
Yeah, 11 judges, wow.
and they will just keep asking questions. Then there's a pecs and personalities round, which is where you get a chance to entertain the audience and show the audience who you are. And then it comes down to the final. The field at this stage is looking at something in excess of 60 contestants from around the world.
Right, okay.
There's guys from Italy, guys from France, guys from Ireland. There's a lot of American-based and Canadian-based contestants. All the contestants are presented initially on stage at the beginning of the final. The interview and makes up the and the pecs and personality contest makes up the sort of the pre-judging. So from the whole field, it's then whittled down to the top 20.
Wow.
And so the top 20 then compete and in the final. And the final involves two main stages. One is a jockstrap round, and the other is a presentation of a 90-second speech.
90-second speech is a long time.
It is a long time.
We know this in radio. 90 seconds is quite a long time.
Yes. Yes. So, and I cried through about half of them last year. they were really wonderful to listen to, engaging speakers, well-polished presentations, and everyone's at their best at that point.
Very intrigued.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Andrew and Tim with you, chatting with reigning Laird Leatherman, Daddy Steve. He's just got back from a holiday. He's a little bit jet-lagged, I reckon. So we're going to find out a little bit more about what he's been up to and also about his big High Cow event coming up in April. All that and more here on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Hide and Seek. It's your show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self. On Joy 94.9.
You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your program for exploring sex, sexuality, and self. Andrew the Apprentice and Mr. Tim are with you, and we have Mr. Daddy Steve, reigning Laird Leatherman, in the studio with us. Now, we mentioned, Steve, you only got back into the country yesterday morning?
Yesterday afternoon. Yeah, I had a nice little break over in San Francisco and some time down in Mexico at Puerto Vallarta.
So Mexico as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
So only a short hop from San Francisco.
So tell us about that place.
Puerto Vallarta is a coastal resort town.
Right.
It's probably about two-thirds of the way down the Pacific coast of Mexico. It's got a very... it's very popular with the gay and lesbian community.
Okay. So if you're going to Mexico as a gay, that's where you go?
That is probably the most spot in Mexico.
Oh, okay. Cool.
There are other spots. I spent some wonderful time at my very first time at an all-inclusive resort, which is quite relaxing.
All-inclusive?
What does that mean?
So pretty much they look after you. They feed and water you.
Getting waited on hand and foot.
Pretty much.
So you have a slave?
Mini slaves, as it turns out.
That's
the best thing was that they had a swim-up bar at the pool.
Ah, very
doing
nice.
Doing pretty mean margaritas and pina coladas.
Awesome.
So that is the gay place in Mexico to go
to. That is a wonderful spot to go. The beaches are nice. It's on the west coast, so the sun sets over the water. Perfect tropical weather. And the Mexicans are pretty friendly. The food is fantastic. And the nightlife in Puerto Vallarta is entertaining.
Entertaining?
Entertaining.
To give some detail?
There's a lot of fun little bars, and it tends to, like many of those small seaside resorts, it tends to sort of, everyone tends to hop from one to the other as each venue's sort of allotted time space in the evening comes to a close. So yeah, that was a fun night out.
Do you find the Mexicans a bit more free than the Americans?
Ooh, it's
sexually, I mean.
I can't say experience much with the Mexicans too much, but they're very friendly and accommodating down in PV.
Very good. So did that and I suppose we get on to why we've got you in, and how did that interrupt your preparation for a big event you've got coming up only in a couple of weeks' time?
Well, I had the had the trip planned before the event, and there was a lot of
shuffling.
No, there's a lot of organisation beforehand, and we're in the sort of the ticket sale process at the moment. So it was I had got everything up online and the key things organised beforehand, and thanks to the wonders of email and the ease of communication while you're away, it wasn't a big deal in stopping that. And I've got a fantastic group of supporters that are helping.
Very good. Always good along, to have a posse to help you out.
Yes.
We are, of course, talking about the High Cow Charity Dinner being held on the 9th of April at south of Johnson. What is the High Cow Charity Dinner all about?
So for a lot of guys that are in the leather community, they might be well aware of what High Cow means.
Right.
So
for those who are not.
I'm about to explain.
Okay.
If you've ever seen guys in their full formal leathers, so sort of leather shirts, ties, Sam Browns, patrol boots, whether they've got a mule cap or a cover or some other sort of headwear.
Like motorcycle club leather, like bluff, yes. That kind of stuff.
It's on the verge of bluff.
Yep.
Not so much with the breeches.
Bluff, we should mention, is?
Is breeches leather uniform.
Okay. And,
yeah. So that Bluff had their inaugural event in Melbourne just a couple of weeks ago,
yes.
Which was really well attended. It was a fantastic night. See so many guys sort of looking absolutely fantastic.
So
that was hosted by Manhouse, and yeah, it was a sort of meet and greet in the first Bluff event in Melbourne.
So High Cow is a little bit less
is not as strict,
not as strict.
As Bluff. So High Cow is the term given to the formal leathers.
Formal leathers,
Or in the US they call it high hide, but the two H's doesn't sort of go too well for me. And the Australian accent, the dinner is not just for people wearing High Cow.
Because I was going to say, I have no formal leather. I'd be there in a jock strap and harness, probably.
Well, no one complained about that, too. but what the dinner is I want to create an environment where people can feel comfortable wearing their formal leathers in a dinner sitting rather than a sort of a stand-up event.
Sure.
But also well aware that not everyone has a full set of leathers, and that's why the encourage people that don't but want to be involved in it that maybe they can come in a formal in a shirt, but I'd love to see someone come in a tux with a harness over the top of it.
That would be great.
Tux with a harness. Okay.
Over the top. Right. Something that's visually impressive and be it fetish gear as well.
Tux with a leather vest is
exactly,
pretty simple.
Exactly. So it doesn't have to be the High Cow was just trying to get a grabby and catchy name for it. So this is my major fundraiser that I'm working on for my role as the Lead Leather Man. So we've got a number of performers that will be doing things throughout the evening.
Right.
Some of them will be announced over the next wee little while. So we're about 6 weeks out, so there's still a little bit of time to go. There will also be some auctions, and we've got some wonderful auction items that have been donated already. Ross Watson has donated a framed print that will be auctioned off. Manhouse has donated a pair of chaps that will be auctioned off. The South of Johnson, the guys that have that, also have a accommodation place up in Dalesford, so they're offering a couple of nights accommodation.
Cool.
The guys from Pissing HQ have offered a gift voucher. The guys that run Rope Dojo, as well as doing a demonstration through the night, they will be offering some passes for a couple to go along to their Japanese rope bondage classes, which are held in Brunswick or maybe Coburg.
Great. So it's a full dinner.
It's a full dinner. It's canapes and sparkling wine on arrival, beer, wine, sparkling wine, and soft drinks throughout the evening, throughout the entire evening, and then it'll be a feast, festive dinner. So there'll be a choice of a fish and a meat, which and sides, which will all be put onto a table, and then. And then followed by a dessert as well as the entertainment throughout the night.
Is it, so obviously dinner, is it like, can you book a table?
Yes, so we've got tables of 6, 8 or 10 or individual bookings, and the tickets are $130 each and available either through contacting myself, which is on the Facebook event, the High Cow Charity Dinner Facebook page, and or also you can go to Manhouse and buy them online.
Ah, makes it a little easy. And all the details are already on the Hide and Seek Facebook page, so check that out as well.
Yep.
Fantastic. And, of course, the proceeds go to Galfa.
All the proceeds of the evening are going to the Galfa. And so, yeah, it's looking set to be a fantastic night. It's already a third sold, so we're encouraging people to get in very quickly to secure their spot, lest they miss out and be disappointed.
So the High Cow Dinner, Charity Dinner, is happening on the 9th of April, 7 o'clock, at South of Johnson in Collingwood. So, yeah, get along and find out all about that. Steve, we're going to keep chatting to you very shortly. You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Matthew Mitchum here, enjoying a reverse 2.5 twist on Hide and Seek. God, these diving puns are just terrible.
It is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Daddy Steve joining Tim and myself, Andrew the Apprentice, this evening. As we said, High Cow is the 9th of April, so all the details are on our social media and along, of course, also at Manhouse. And, yeah, get along. Now, Steve, obviously you've got the 9th of April happening. Now, also, I understand you're going to be joining us here very soon after you get back from Chicago.
Actually, it'll be before I
Before then?
Before I go to Chicago, I will be undertaking the Taste of Radio course.
Yes.
Ooh, we've got a recruit.
We've got a recruit, Tim.
Yeah. Watch out, listeners.
Yes. Now, for the last couple of years, the Hide and Seek team has been happy to donate a position on the Taste Radio with a scholarship,
yes,
for the Taste Radio course, and so you'll be undertaking that through April and May.
Yes, I will.
Allowing for the Chicago thing, of course. But
actually, finding a time in the allotted schedules.
You're a very busy man.
Over the first half of the year, hadn't been particularly easy.
But what are you looking forward to in the Taste Radio course?
Looking forward to having a greater understanding of the background workings of producing a show. I guess certain techniques on how to present yourself better on radio will be covered in that course as
yes.
well. So getting a broader sense of what happens in order for the listener to be hearing my voice like it is at the moment.
And look, you know, even if you get a chance to do a little bit of presenting skills, always can be expanded upon, I guess, mm-hmm. and you know, potentially it'll help you when you get to Chicago.
I'm hoping it will, actually, in you know, making sure, even just a little bit of microphone technique.
Think of it like an ice cream,
yeah.
But not quite.
Ice cream?
See, it's radio still.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's that coming up. For those listeners who are potentially also interested in doing the Taste Radio, there is also, I believe, we've just opened up a second course, I believe, through April and May on Thursday evenings. So if you're interested in that, go to the Joy website, joy.org.au, to find out more about that. But get in quick, because the places go really, really, really quickly. So if you want to get involved, jump on that as soon as you can. What else are you up to, though?
Well, to date so far, we've raised a little over $1,000 for Galfa.
Wow, that's pretty good.
And that's been mostly through the Sunday social barbecues.
So all right.
The second Sunday of each month, so the second weekend of each month, I'm at the Laird most of the weekend.
Cooking sausages.
Cooked sausages at the Sunday social. And it's a great way to sort of get down and sort of chat with other guys in a pretty relaxed easy Sunday cruisy mode. There's usually some good tunes, a little bit of fun with the Cock Lotto promotion that goes down there with raffle prizes and things from people that buy drinks. And then you get to I feed you my sausages.
How do you find that with recruiting people? Because there's quite a mixed crowd on a Sunday.
It is a very good mixed crowd on a Sunday. So what I find is really good about it is because people are in a more relaxed mode, it's not like a crazy Friday or Saturday night where people are doing their best to have a good time. Everyone is a little bit more laid back. So it's been a really great opportunity to chat to people that might not necessarily know who what Guelph is about chat to... I've been approached by some other guys that are keen to run for the Leatherman title next year. So it's been a good chance to have a chat to them about it and what my experience has been.
So do you become a mentor then?
I think you always become a mentor. My title granddaddy said, you never step down, you just step aside.
Oh, so he's your granddaddy. I'm going to call him that next time I see him.
You said later, or you said next year. It's only, March now.
March, yeah.
So we're only a few months away from the Week of Leather, which usually happens...
First week of August.
First week of August. So...
It's not long to go.
It's not long to go.
There's a lot to accomplish in between now and then, between...
So let's say you get back from Chicago. Let's do best case scenario. What happens if you actually came home with the international title?
I would be very, very busy and racking up the frequent fly points over the following year.
Is there obligations to be available stateside?
There are expectations.
Yep.
They don't use the word obligations, but there are expectations that you'll be available. I think the current reigning international Mr. Leather, Patrick Smith, he is probably doing about two weekends a month or almost... of events, if not a little bit more.
Wow.
I think one of the previous winners had travelled something like 46 of the 52 weekends that he was involved. I could make myself available over there probably 2 weeks out of every eight in the States or in Europe.
So yep.
It's certainly well within what they would be looking for.
And okay, so let's assume also you didn't win. Mm-hmm. What do you do when you get home?
I've got a lot of stories to tell. I'm not going there to win.
Yep.
I'm going there to have a pretty good time.
An experience.
An experience. Yes. And I'd like to make the top 20.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens.
Yep.
There's no guarantees there. The guys that I've got to know so far, that it's a pretty strong field. It's a big field. So, but it's looking like there's going to be three of us from Australia going over, which is the first time Australia's
had
three contestants in quite a while.
So Sydney, Brisbane, the other two.
Sydney and Brisbane, yep. Yeah. So, David from Brisbane was down in Melbourne for the Bluff event, and that weekend and the Code Black weekend. So it was good to get to know him a little bit, and I'll be marching on Saturday in the Mardi Gras parade with Tim Ball, who's Mr. Sydney Leather.
Oh, right.
Also there'll be a couple of international guests, including Mr. Chicago Leather, who will be out here and marching in the parade as well.
Wow.
The Sydney Leather Pride Association.
Fantastic.
So it's going to be a fun weekend.
Well, have a great Mardi Gras then with all those guys, and getting ready for the High Cow on charity dinner on the 9th of April, and then off to Chicago.
Then off to, they're not doing the Taste of Radio.
And then Taste of Radio, and then...
then to Chicago.
Then Chicago.
Yeah.
He's got his priorities in order. Yeah, I like this.
Very well done.
Yeah. So it's going to be a bit of a roller coaster the next... next few months, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Daddy Steve, thank you so much for joining us this evening on Hide and Seek.
Thank you for having me.
And Tim, that's all we've got time for this evening. Big thank you to Daddy Steve for joining us. Also, a big thank you, of course, to David, who does all our podcasting. All of our podcasts are available at joy.org.au, as are our social media links.
Yes, they are. And thanks, David, because he gets them up pretty quickly.
He does very quickly, so big thank you for him. I'm going to have, here we go, Tim, I'm going to have a few weeks break out of the studio.
What
will I do?
You're going to have to deal with Dean over the next few weeks.
Oh, Dean is here.
I think he's gone now. Who knows? The Melbourne Queer Film Festival launch was this evening, so there's been lots of people coming in and out of the studio tonight, and it looks like they're buzzing out of having a great night there, so no doubt the festival is up and running. Have a great and safe Mardi Gras for those travelling up to Sydney.
Yes.
And we'll see you, well, you'll see the others here next week.
Yes.
And I'll see you in about a month.
Have a good holiday.
Will do.
Where are you going?
Nowhere. I'm just having a break.
You're just sick of us,
aren't you? Just a break from you guys. You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
You can subscribe to Hide and Seek's podcast for free. Visit joy.org.au/hideandseek for more information. Suggest a topic, a guest, or provide feedback. Email hideandseek@joy.org.au.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Hide and seek.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.